Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here Thursday, July the 23rd, 2026, 7:23:26. 9 coming up on 10 minutes past the hour here. Unseasonably cool Thursday morning, 63 degrees here in the Marion area. Voice of the People with Linda Sims will come up when I'm done today, 10:15 a.m. until 12 noon. Then Adam the Computer Guy from 12:15 until 1 p.m. All right, the phone lines are open here this morning. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Feel free to let your voice be heard. Now, the conversations this morning certainly have revolved around the current financial situation here in Marion, Marion being declared to be in fiscal emergency. Fire Chief Chuck Deem plans to retire next February after 30 years with the fire department, 9 years as chief. Pretty much will not be in the office between now and then, using up his paid vacation time. Flock cameras, heaven knows, that's still an interesting topic for people. Are there 5 votes on council to get rid of them? Doesn't look that way right now. But you never know. You never know what can happen. And I guess this is where we are at this particular point. Or if there's anything else going on in the world that you would like to discuss, we can certainly discuss it here on the morning program. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Well, I think we covered a lot of ground in the first hour. But as I said in the first hour, I think that placing the blame right now, piling on the mayor, maybe not the best idea from my perspective. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm just recuperating.
Oh, how's that going?
Well, like it does when you're 83 years old.
Well, hopefully.
Everything else, just slow.
Just slow.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
What about the weather alarm? You know, that was hot pursuit,
uh-huh.
And then it stopped.
Well, I don't think anything's changed there.
Well, now, we've been through the almost through the tornado situation. How far did they go to check to see how to fix it? One person says, it's old, we can't fix it.
Well, that's my understanding, that the city engineer said that it's too old to get parts for, and that's where we are.
Well, that doesn't mean, so then you just hang it up and say, well, we'll take our chance. We had to have it. We had to have it for how many years? And now we don't have to have it anymore. There's bigger fish to fry.
Well, it seems as if the administration's point of view on this is that we shouldn't fix these. We don't have the money to fix them, and everybody should get this weather app.
That's bull. Yeah, that's bull. I don't want to talk like the other guy using the language he uses sometimes. But so we just sit back and wait? That's kind of like sitting beside the road with a flat tire.
Well, you know, I don't know where a lot of this is going to end up, because we clearly, after this week, as I was saying in hour number one, you know, the flock cameras, that's a more flashy story. People like to talk about it. It gets more attention. People will make more comments because it's government surveillance, and people like to talk about that. But this story about the fiscal emergency, if people don't understand that this is a big story, if people are going to try to dust this one under the rug like so many other things the last couple years, they're sadly mistaken in regard to the severity of this story. I'm still not sure if people really understand the severity of this.
Now, Scott, when the guy from the state came up here and he says, you've known since last November or something like that, what your mess is, what have you as a city done to correct this? Not just what you plan to do, what have you done?
And I think that was a problem.
Because he done nothing. Yeah, they were going to do away with the bus or raise the rates or whatever. Did they ever do that?
I think they eventually got to it, much like with recycling, which just happened earlier this month. But, you know,
they talked about it for how long?
Well, and I think ultimately that was the problem, is that there was a plan and there was a lot of stuff written down and talked about, but none of it was ever implemented.
That's exactly. Now, if you would have come up from the state to look this over, would you have not have said, so if you think that'll help, why didn't you start doing it last February?
Well, I'll tell you, this is emblematic of a bigger problem, and we've seen it on this show, we've seen it in this city, and I think this is worth talking about. Because ever since we had a change in administration, and as the auditor himself of the state, who is a Republican, said the other morning, this administration knew when they came in that there was a problem with the finances in Marion. And they spent more aggressively than the past administration said. Now, I have been saying that on this show for a long time. People have been calling in and saying that. Council people said that. And yet, there were people in the audience who said, why are you picking on this mayor? Why are you picking on this council? Why are you doing that? Support the city, so on and so forth. Now, nobody was trying to be negative to the mayor. Nobody was trying to be negative to the administration. Nobody was trying to be negative to the council. It was a stark change. And if people did not understand that, I'm sorry, but there was a big change that happened. You know, we spent money. We've rattled them off. A nighttime bus route. The stickers.
With no approval of the council.
Right, but people thought it was okay. You know, how many times did we... I can go back and play tape of callers calling in and chastising me for being negative for reporting these things. And now where are we? For the first time in the history of Marion, in the history, we have essentially been declared a fiscal emergency by the auditor of the state for overspending and not keeping our books up to date. And, you know, you want to have a party in the park? Good. A lot of people turn out, I guess. You know, that's what people were arguing. How many people turned out? Well, I don't think it mattered if 50,000 people turned out. Did you have the money to spend on it to begin with?
Well, and there was some council people that said no.
But right, very few.
But then there was a lot that went along with it. So, and they knew, the council people knew, and so what if you get a bad reputation? It doesn't matter what we do, he's going to vote against it, or she's going to vote against it.
Right, but I remember people saying, well, the downtown looks wonderful. Look at these flowers, and it looks more beautiful than it ever has. Probably did, but you know what? Money was being spent that the city did not necessarily have. And so here is the problem on the whole. When a day like this comes, and by the way, it's not all the mayor's fault. You can't put it all on him because council is the legislative arm of the city.
And they should have been the one. Of course, they were all new, and they were kind of going along with the boss.
Well, here's the problem. Listen, love your city is a very nice slogan. And it, of course we all love our city. Why are we here if we don't? But the problem is when you start manufacturing these t-shirts and these emblems and you start jumping on anybody who points out anything wrong, well, somebody needs to proverbially sound the alarm. Something is not right here. Well, now not only has the alarm been sounded, the tornado has come. And I mean, it took 2.5 years to get here to this date, but, I mean, is this what you wanted?
Well, but that's kind of what I think. When the guy from the, long time ago, back in February, when somebody came from the state and we had these suggestions of what we could do, and then here it is all July, and we never done any of that stuff.
Well, right, and that was a miscue, and I don't really understand, because layoffs look bad. I understand that. Nobody wants to be seen as laying people off, but that is the biggest expenditure a city has, and unfortunately, you have to make those decisions sometimes.
Well, but when I sit here and I think, well, what have they done to fix this? That's what I think every time I see a Prime truck stop. Well, you know, the person who's got to get in the package probably has that on a credit card. Okay, now one of these days, the credit card's going to come due. I mean, because I see these trucks all over. No one's paying cash for anything. Everybody is just using their card. Well, eventually that card goes dry.
Well, you know what's interesting? Mary out here this morning, now this is what she's saying. She says, I'm just wondering at what cost to us, the citizens of Marion, are the consequences going to be for our city government misspending our money? Well, there's going to be consequences because I would imagine there are going to be bills that continue to go up. There are going to be services that stop. And I would have to imagine, I have not heard of it yet, there's going to have to be some cuts to the budget at some point. And I would imagine some of that is going to be employees. I don't know how you could get around that, but maybe you can. I don't know.
Well, I tell you, we don't live on a cash basis. And so when you... there's no more money in the purse, then you don't spend any money. It's not like that. You just whip out that card because that bill will come next month, and then you'll worry about it.
Well,
and that's kind of the way that the council, how they've done. And you can't really blame those poor people because they did run. At least you got somebody to run. And they are doing the best of the knowledge that they have. Because it takes a long time to sit there on that council and learn all those ifs, ands, and buts.
Well,
so you got to give them credit for sticking their neck out, because that's exactly what they do, is stick their neck out. And then when you have someone with a personality like that, he's your boss. So are you going to challenge every time he opens his mouth? You're not until you've been there long enough to say, no, that's just not right. Or are you going to go along with him, not just him, but everybody setting up that peanut gallery that I'm sure he meets with on a regular basis. But I still, like I said, we done the storm thing. You know, that was hot to trot there for a while. And then all of a sudden, the state thing came in. Apparently, we aren't going to have any more storms, so we'll just forget about that. There's lots of things coming up.
I hate to say it, but I've been saying it for 2.5 years. Communication is a big part of these jobs. And one thing that could have helped a lot, I'm not saying it could have fixed the financial problems, but if somebody was out trying to explain what was going on and why it was going this way, I think that would have assuaged some of the public's concern. But nobody feels that they need to do that anymore. And, you know, and people will defend it. They'll say, well, he doesn't need to do that. Well, okay. I mean, I guess.
Yeah.
Doesn't look too good today.
But no, I was wondering about, and of course then I look at my city bill and I say, okay, where is, of course I guess the trash is sanitation, but then when they quit taking our recycling, making that route, they don't do that, does that mean our bill's going to go down in the recycling or sanitation? Because one sewer, the other sanitation, I guess. It's not very plain for old people like us. But now, I'm sure our bill didn't go down when they quit picking up our recycling.
No, I think it went up.
Oh, Well, then we better start picking up the recycling again.
Well, went up because sanitation rates needed to go up and recycling needed to go away. And these are the decisions that are being made. I don't know why a lot of this stuff wasn't implemented right away. I believe this stuff was originally sent out in February. Why it took so long, I truly don't know.
And that's probably exactly what the state said. So why didn't you do it?
Yeah. Well, when you call the state in, I would expect that they are going to expect that you're going to start doing stuff.
Right after they got the paperwork done, the next month it should have stopped, and they should start band-aiding their mess.
And here we are.
I'm an old woman. Anyway, Scott, it's been real, and I won't take up all your time. You just keep on keeping on.
We'll keep on. Hey, thank you.
Bye.
All right, and again, phone lines are open here, 740-383-9944. 25 minutes past the hour on this Thursday, July the 23rd, 2026. Feel free to call in if there's anything on your mind. We always enjoy hearing from you, the listening audience, 740-383-9944. You know, everybody wants to see things nice. And I think we want to see things, we want to see more services. Well, let's take the call here and we'll come back to this. All right, go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott. How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm not too bad. On this, you know, piling on of the mayor thing, I think it comes with the territory. If you want to be the captain of the ship, if you want to be that figurehead, if you want to be there when, you know, we're the strongest city or when this new restaurant opens and all that, and you get to smile and do all that, and those are great things, and I have more power to it, but you got to take the good with the bad. And he wanted the job. He ran for the office. So, it's like all public servants, you know. You got to, like I said, you got to take the good with the bad. The thing that stands out to me, and I came in kind of late in the city government game, so I don't know the whole story on the relationship between the mayor and Jason Schauber. I get the whole, mayor and Ratliff thing because it's a party thing. Seems pretty extreme to me, but that's that. But on the Jason Schauber thing, you know, I can remember sitting there and watching and being a part of the audience, and I never really took what Jason was doing as a personal vendetta. He wasn't coming at the mayor or the administration in that way. It was fiscal responsibility. And the response I saw Jason get routinely from the mayor, from the not so much the administration, but, you know, from the mayor for sure, and, you know, with one of the future administration, but, you know, we don't know when she was in the administration, Twyla Lang, but the mayor would come back with just, you know, incredulity, or whatever that word is. I mean, it was just, he had this disdain for Mr. Schauber, and I can remember at one point, right at the very end, maybe probably Schauber's last council meeting, and I don't remember the subject matter, but Jason had brought something up, and it was maybe about the party bus or something, and, you know, and the mayor said, you know what, and it's a good thing, you know, you're not going to be here, so we don't need your input, so to speak. I mean, you know, paraphrasing. I never understood that. I mean, he was just trying to hold people account, and the mayor often projected this, you know what, I've been around city government my whole life, and I've got this, and how dare you question it, and how dare you question what we're doing, we've got this. Well, obviously they don't got it, do they?
Well, here's some things I think that are interesting, because I think over time, like I said earlier, I think we conflate a lot of things. People have said in the last few days, Ayers and Jason, Ayers and Jason, Ayers and Jason. Go back and look at the votes. Ayers voted for a lot of things.
I agree with you.
Okay, so we've got to stop saying that. And you know, that's unfortunately just the way the facts are. Now, number two, also with Ayers and this mayor, I believe when Ayers was on this show in February talking about his other issues, I asked him what his relationship was with the mayor, and he said he had a good relationship with the mayor.
Right.
So I don't remember them having a lot of dust-ups. I think they had one or two very early on, but I don't think in the remaining 2 years of Ayers' term there was I don't remember any dust-ups, to be honest with you. So, you know, I don't think Ayers did have a bad relationship with Mayor Collins. So, I don't think we can say that.
How about Schauber? His own party. Why was Schauber, you know, I mean, was it a personal thing, or...
Well, it would seem to me that Jason Schauber got on the outs with the Republican Party early in 2020, 2021. I think that had to do with the Landon situation. I think Jason has talked about this. I think that's when he got on the outs with the Republican Party. And I do think that he and the mayor did not see eye to eye on a lot of things. And I think that's where that relationship kind of went south. But, you know, as far as party goes, I don't think Scott Kreider has a bad relationship with the mayor, and I don't think Ayers had a bad relationship with the mayor, and they're the only two Democrats who've been on council during this mayor's term. So,
well, I know there were people in the city, though. There's people from the community that would get up and speak and try to hold the administration accountable about their spending and all that. And as I said, you know, even when Twyla was on council, I mean, they just don't, I mean, when you ask them questions, I mean, let's say the charter thing, for example, I think so many people today, you're either for the idea or you're against the idea. You can't ask any questions, because if you ask any question, you must be against them. No, some people, like myself, we just want more understanding. And I think that was the case with the charter. But, you know, Twyla, she can't stand to be asked any kind of question about accountability. She hates it. She likes to hold other people accountable. The mayor, he's doing better. But certain people, and maybe Schauber was one of those things, maybe a personal issue spilled over into politics, you know, because sometimes once you don't like somebody, you just can't hear anything that comes out of their mouth, and whether it's right or wrong, you just can't hear it. And that's a problem in politics, because politics shouldn't be about personal issues and personal relationships. It should be about what's the best for the community, what's the best for the city, whatever. Are you representing your constituents? Well, you know, we have a present city council at large, Danny Clark, that just despises. He can't stand for the public to get up and question city government. You know, we're not supposed to, you can just see it in their demeanor. He doesn't always say it in his words. He can't stand those people. But you can see it in his demeanor. You can see that in the mayor's demeanor. And go back and watch videos of his relationship with people that were on city council in the past that were trying to hold him accountable financially and trying to ask questions about why are you spending this money and what's the good of it. And they didn't want to hear it. And they often responded in such a way as, like, you know what, we've got this. We've been doing this. We're doing great. You know, we're only here at this council meeting because we have to be. Well, and that's a problem.
Well, it's not for me to defend this particular mayor, but what I will say is that aside from a council here, you know, past mayors, they had blow-ups with the public. I mean, there were things that the public would say that they really didn't like or said to them. I mean, it happened to Mayor Schertzer, it happened to Mayor Kellogg, but there was not such, this mayor definitely has had a lot more continuous criticism from the public than other mayors have had, I would think. If I'm gauging it, if I would go to a meeting that Mayor Schertzer was at, I don't remember a whole lot of people really trying to grill Mayor Schertzer on things where they have tried to grill this mayor on things. And I don't know where that comes from, but I think it created a grudge. I don't want to speak for him, but it seemed as if it created a grudge on his part, and I think it created a grudge on the public's part. And to this day, nobody's been able to let go of that grudge, and it's still there. And it's created a tumultuous relationship. And I think, and I hate to say it, but, you know, Mayor Kellogg and Mayor Schertzer
shouldn't be in politics then, you know? They can dish it out, but they can't take it.
I think
a lot of people, you know, I think the mayor and a lot of the Republicans rode the wave coming in on Trump's wave, and they love that part of it. They don't like, also, when Trump's in office, it's a daily barrage of stuff. And so people get on the defensive, people get on their high horse, they get activated, they get agitated, and just like he rode that wave, and, you know, shit rolls downhill. And again, you're getting people more activated because of the national politics. So he saw the benefit of riding the wave in and being able to come in. I guess he didn't stop and think, well, what's the bad of? What could be the cons of running for mayor? You know, well, let's see, the president takes a lot of grief on a daily. Wow, I'm probably going to do that too. Am I thin-skinned enough to, you know, is that going to be a problem for me, or can I handle that?
Well, like I said, I think one of the problems as well was not dealing with the media. You know, other mayors made it a point once a month to speak to the media, even if nothing was going on, because it gave them a chance not only to answer for things that people had questions about, but it gave them a chance to tout what they were doing that was good. And that's why that was a relationship. This mayor did away with that right off the bat, and I don't think that was a good idea.
That's weird. Didn't you find that strange from this mayor?
Well, that's what I said. I think that was probably not the best move. And
right, but I'm just saying, from him, from his past, like when he was the chief of police, he loved to be in the limelight. He loved when they had a bust. He loved, I mean, the mayor, he likes to get up there and be a part of the good stuff. I mean, and who wouldn't? I'm not picking on him on that respect, but you got to take the good and the bad. And I think, you know, I just thought that would come to me as like, wow, why would somebody who really kind of likes the press, likes the, you know, but,
Well, I think all these things contributed to the problem, but you know what? It's never too late. He's in there for another year and a half, at least, at this particular point. So, you know, he could change. Monday night, I don't know if I've said it yet, Monday night, I had a very pleasant exchange with him. It was fine. We were in the hallway.
There's people in, I've not always been this way, Scott, but, I mean, I've come to the point in my life where I can look past, as long as I don't think bad of you personally, like you're some kind of creep or perv or something like that, you know, I can work with you either, you know, as a contractor, I can work with you as a person, I can work with you in a committee, you know what I'm saying? We can have conversations. I think that's where the breakdown has come, you know, prior to Trump and all of that. It's kind of like with President Biden and who's the one that just passed away?
Carter?
No, not the president, the senator that just passed
Lindsey
away.
Oh, Lindsey Graham.
Lindsey Graham. They used to be very, very, very good friends. And they were on opposite sides of the aisle. Both of them very opposite on many, many things. But they, up until the whole Trump era, you know, they were very, very good friends on the private side. So they were able to still have communication and common ground. And that's what we need. We got to find that common ground. We can't be this society of you're either for me or you're against me. I mean, I like you, Scott. I disagree with things you say. I like a lot of people. There's nobody that I agree with 100%. And I mean, it was kind of like with the whole the OMW or whatever it was, Ohio Marion Watch, whatever the hell the name of it was. My big thing with them is they were all like, oh, we'll die on the hill for you, Phil, this, that, and the other. But I never had met most of them personally. And I kept saying, you know, we all need to get together for a picnic. I want to see how people communicate and react when they're not on stage, when they're not on the internet, when they're not on point. You know, I want to, you know, be standing over here, and I just want to listen in on a conversation because I want to see how people think. You know, that's how you know who people are. And when we quit doing that, because we become a, you're either for me or against me, you have no common ground in the middle, and you can't ever get passing, so you just argue and argue and argue, and we don't get shit done.
Well, hopefully it'll turn around. I mean, I guess that's the best we can hope for, but I appreciate you calling in.
All right, buddy. Have a great day.
Bye-bye. All right, and again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Well, I guess this was posted by the Marion Area Convention and Visitors Bureau 25 minutes ago, something like that. It says, we are thrilled to share that Marion has been named one of the best magazines, best hometowns for 26-27. Ohio Magazine's editors selected Marion for its downtown redevelopment success and rich sense of history, including the home, presidential library, and museum. So there you go. A bit of good news in this week of rough news. Go ahead, caller.
You know, the mayor deserves all of the crap that is loaded upon him. I recall a year and a half or so ago, Ayers Ratliff was still on council, and the mayor had the audacity to stand up and say, I know more about city government and city council than anybody here. And I wish I could remember the date of that meeting. But I guarantee I would bet you a dozen Buckeye donuts that Ayers Ratliff remembers that, because there were several mouths open like, is this guy serious?
Well, here's
the thing. So, you know, he knows everything more than anybody that's been up on city council. Jason Schauber was there at the time. All of his years, all of Ayers Ratliff years. So, you know, he knows what's going on, and he knows he's put Marion in this precarious situation, or he's a liar. You know, it can't be both. Does he know all of that much that he said that he did in a public meeting?
Well, I don't know, but like I say, all I can say is that Ayers has referred to their relationship as very good. Okay. I'm not going to call Ayers a liar. He said it when he was here in February for the interview. And a lot of people have praised this mayor. I think Aaron Rollins said good things about this mayor. So, you know, I think it's very hard. And we're going to have this problem with the next governor, whoever it is. When you come to a position and you have never been in legislative government, people are forgetting, prior to this election, I was saying that prior to the election, when it was Glenn Coble and Bill Collins, I said, you know, this is going to be the first time in, I don't know, probably nearly 100 years, that we're going to have somebody coming into the job of mayor who has not served on city council. Who, you know, that's a lot to come into if you've never been a part of it. And I think that's a problem. I thought it was a problem then. I think it's a problem now. I think there's a better grasp on it now than there was before. I'm not saying that people can't blame the mayor. They're certainly entitled to do whatever they want. But you cannot...
Hold on a minute.
You cannot say that the auditor, the treasurer, the council, who have elected jobs to do, are absolved of this behavior.
Absolutely not.
And you also can't say that auditors that came prior to this mayor are absolved of causing a problem.
Everybody, probably the past at least 10 years.
I'll say six because that's what the auditor of state said. But what I would say to that is that that's fine, and we can hold all these people for the last 6 years accountable, but the mayor's an easy target because he is the CEO of the city. The mayor's an easy target because everybody knows the mayor, and the mayor did have a very aggressive plan when he came to office. So,
well, he's the one that put the target on his back. He essentially begged the community, the sea full of his yard signs, Collins for mayor, etc., etc. But he didn't bring the goods.
Well, I just want to say again, if you didn't hear it, 25 minutes ago by the Marion Area Convention and Visitors Bureau, special announcement, they're thrilled to share the news that Marion has been named one of Ohio Magazine's best hometowns. 26-27, Ohio Magazine's editor selected Marion for its downtown redevelopment success and rich sense of history, including the home, presidential library, and museum, and final resting place of President Warren G. Harding. So, there you go.
And what does that get us?
Well, good press,
you know, I guess. You can say great things about great things, but bottom line is, who cares? What does that, is that generating tourism? What does that give Marion?
It might. Might generate tourism, which is what
it
they're...
It might. That's like, you know, two pieces of bread and you have a wish sandwich. You wish you had some meat to put between those two pieces of bread.
Well, I think you got to try something. I mean, if the magazine's willing to bestow something on you, I think you take
it. Oh, I'm curious. Was that something that they chose themselves, or did Marion apply and pay for that editorial?
I don't know. I don't know what Ohio Magazine is, but the stuff they're citing is all true. I mean, certainly this is the resting home of President Harding. Certainly,
that's true.
We do have a lot of history here. I mean, I don't think they're saying things that aren't true.
You could probably stretch a few things, you know.
Well, I think if a magazine is willing to put something, do something nice for you, why turn it down?
Well, it depends on the readership. What good is it to be published if you don't have a readership?
Well, I don't know. They're getting
the
word out this morning.
The Marion Star, the circulation, how many do they have? Good God. The Columbus Dispatch, they're all dying, you know?
Well, here we go. Thank you.
Time will tell.
Phone lines again are open here today, 740-383-9944. 47 minutes past the hour, 740-383-9944. Don't forget, Voice of a People with Linda Sims comes up today, 10:15 a.m. till 12 noon. And Adam the Computer Guy today from 12:15 until 1. And we're always interested in your opinions. Go ahead, caller.
What do you think the criteria for that contest was? You think it was like a Strongest Town thing where we write an essay and it was flowery and they pick from the best?
I don't know, but... Well, I mean, they said basically what they based it in, and I don't think any of those things are false.
No, those are all true. And, you know, as far as it goes, if you like history, we do have a very nice presidential museum. You know, that is a draw. But as far as it goes with the downtown, let's just be real here for a minute, all right? Oxby's just came to town. Oxby's also just announced that they're closing one of their Columbus locations. So that happened with the Ray Rays. They came up here, they expanded quickly, and then they ended up shutting down. I'm not saying Oxby's is closing down. I'm just saying they're closing Oxby's in Columbus. So we'll leave that for what it is. We currently have two downtown businesses that are going out of business, but they are trying to sell their business before they just shut down. One of them is Maddie's on Main. She's one of the businesses that have been down there forever, and the other one is the bounce house that where they played bingo, and I believe at one time it was Carol's Jewelers. So, you know, there's what's left downtown. I mean, we've got a couple of the buildings look nicer, and you know, we've got a couple of places to go. but we keep touting that as our big comeback and our revitalization. What's there?
Well, I think, listen, I think...
If you're going to the doctor and you wanted to grab lunch, it's the perfect setup. It really is. If you're going to see an attorney or you're at court that day and you want to grab something to eat, very convenient. If you...
But here's the thing. I've always thought for a long time now, I think people downtown are touting the wrong things. Downtown used to be an area of commerce when it came to restaurants. I don't think restaurants come and go, and that's going to be the way it is. I mean, Del Taco didn't survive on Route 95, neither did White Castle. These are not shocking things. But I think the revitalization of downtown that should be touted, things like Marion Tech moving down there, things like Ohio Health moving down there.
Yeah.
And I know that more doctor's offices are moving down there. Doctor's Park is almost a ghost town now.
It is. I was out there the other day. I was just astounded. I was like, this used to be where all the doctors were, and now there's no one here, and what are they going to do with these buildings?
Right, and I think that's what downtown, I think they need to stop putting it, I mean, if the restaurants want to come and go, that's fine, but I would not tout the businesses of that nature, retail, as my strong suits. I would tout Marion Tech's satellite office. I would tout the banks
the
that have stayed down
and
there.
The healthcare. It's great. We need all the healthcare providers that we can get of all sorts. We need them. And if they're going to be centralized downtown, that's good. That probably makes them easier for everyone to get to. Like, if you're coming from out of town, then you can be right downtown. It's easy to find. It's not like executive drive.
And the palace still thrives down there. And the Harding Hotel is doing well. So, you know, these things are good. These things are continuous. These things I don't think are going anywhere in the near future.
So let me ask you this. That Ohio magazine, whatever that is, do you believe that story about being, you know, whatever it was, or this year's version of Strongest Town is, will get more play, or do you think more eyeballs have seen that Marion's in fiscal emergency?
Oh, fiscal emergency is the bigger story, but that's going to be the case for quite some time. But I think you certainly, in a bad time like this, if somebody's willing to give you an award, you better take it.
Oh, I agree. Now, speaking of awards and Strongest Town, and let's just segue over to Bill Collins and some things that he said in these meetings. Jason Schauber, I remember, and I'm sure you were there that night. Maybe you weren't. Yeah, you were there. You've been there for all the big meetings. The full council meetings forever. Remember when he told Schauber to stay in his lane?
Yeah, I do think I remember that, yeah.
He told him to stay in his lane. This is that's your lane and this is my lane. You need to stay in your own lane. And it was about spending money, so it was very much in council's lane. I remember when Bodine stood up, and I believe it was like within the first few weeks of Collins taking office, and he told Ayers Ratliff that he was nothing but a troublemaker. I mean, those were his exact words that he used. You're nothing but a troublemaker. I mean, they just, and it's the full point, and all I can do is speak for myself. I've been called names. I've been called a liar. I was called a felon. I was told to mind my own business, to respect their authority, to stop asking questions. And as far as, you made a very valid point. The way that Collins handled some people from the beginning and still made a point, too. Once I don't like somebody, I don't like you forever unless you give me a reason to like you, and it needs to be a very good reason, but I will not like Bill Collins forever. And, you know, maybe had he handled me a little differently and made me an ally instead of an enemy, he wouldn't have to, well, you know, I kind of helped create a whole group of people that now just harass the hell out of City Hall with information requests. I don't even really have to do it anymore because they just ignore mine, so why not let other people do it? But, so, you know, had he not did what he did to me, he might not have 50 people that have now been record-trained up his behind asking for information all the time. You know, maybe I would help patch things up between him and the community, but where it stands right now, I will say this, and I will say it unashamed, unabashedly. I want him to fail. I want him to fail so miserably that none of us ever consider voting for him for mayor again.
See, but here's where I think the problem lies.
Absolute failure.
Well, but I'm not sure if As long as he's the mayor.
I want the state of Ohio to send a notice to the residents of the city of Marion and say, what the hell are you doing? This guy doesn't know his ass from a hole in the ground, and if you elect him again, you're never going to get out of fiscal emergency. Now, I know that won't happen, but that's what I wish would happen.
Well, here's the people who are unpopular are not going to get reelected. That's on the voter. But I think wishing someone to fail is not a good thing because...
I don't care. I said I'll say it unashamed.
Well, that's...
I want him to fail. I mean, he's already failed. In 2.5 years, what has he done but accelerate us into fiscal emergency? I want the state of Ohio to say, buddy, you don't know what you're doing. We're taking it over. So come election time, people are like, the state of Ohio said our mayor doesn't know what he's doing. Let's not reelect him.
You know, time will judge these people, and I think that
hopefully the Ohio Ethics Commission will judge these people.
Well, but the thing is,
a judge will judge these people.
Well, the thing is, some people have their pluses, some people have their failures. I don't know any mayors that have not. And at the end of the day, when they're in office...
Scott Surtur had his flaws, but I don't ever remember Scott Surtur just being so absolutely arrogant to not listen to counsel, to do as he pleased. There were arguments and there were contentious moments. I don't ever remember him treating the public the way Collins treats the public.
I think there... Well, no two people are the same. Everybody has different tacks on how they're going to treat people. And also, it's different times. People have different stuff that's coming at them. You know, I think, you know, you got to remember, by the time the financial issues started happening with Mayor Schertzer, he was over a decade into the job.
Yes.
You know, this happened right off the start with Mayor Collins. So those are different situations to be in. And I do think that Mayor Collins... very early on, was attacked in a way that other mayors were not. And
he did things that other mayors never did. I mean, he came in and just started spending money like he found the money tree. Remember, within like the first 2 weeks of Bodine having his job, he's buying $25,000 worth of stickers from his buddy.
Well, that's right. But
on a credit card.
But I think... But I think that was Mayor Collins' agenda, and I think he said that. I think his quote was, you know, the reason he ran for mayor, and I believe he said this in interviews, that, it, you know, he felt it was Groundhog Day around here, that nothing was ever changing. And I think...
I think Robert Landon said something about change, too, that he was going to bring change to the office. Boy, he brought change, all right. That's definitely one campaign promise he kept.
Well, but I don't think we can't say that Bill Collins didn't bring change.
He brought change, all right. It's called fiscal emergency.
Right, but a lot of people liked, for the first year and a half of his term, his administration, a lot of people liked a lot of what he was doing and gave him a lot of praise.
Well, yeah, as Phil said, it's all fun when we're having parties in the park and we're getting new buses for the downtownies and... We're making everything look so pretty with the flowers and whatever. That would lead people to believe that everything is just fine, wouldn't it?
Well, here's the thing.
And really, what we were doing was putting lipstick on a pig.
But he tried. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing.
Faber said it yesterday. I don't even have to say it. I'm going to quote the state auditor. He should have known that we were having financial issues and not gone on his, I just got the slush fund spending spree.
Well, I think
Faber
he did.
Said that he was...
I think he did.
Said his aggressive spending.
Right, but here's the problem. I think, let me just say this in the last 3 minutes. I think that Mayor Collins certainly knew we were having financial issues. One of the big things during the campaign that he won was the auditor at the time, talking about the auditor. Mayor Schertzer had already called for the auditor to be removed. But here's the thing.
I know I'm having money problems. I'm not going to go re-wallpaper my house.
Right, but here's the thing. The thing of it is when you are elected, you have a choice to do what you're doing. He brought in a budget director. He had a safety director. He had a service director. And he had an auditor. He had a treasurer. What were his relationship with these people? What was
he
being told?
He didn't even go to McGinnis's office.
But how did this all transpire? Because I don't think Bill Collins, fresh to this job, said, oh, you know what, I'm just going to spend all this money and I don't even know what the balances are. I don't think that was true.
I
think...
I think it's apparent.
I think he did almost everything in tandem with his budget director. And what was she telling him?
There's no money. That's why she was cashing out long-term investments to pay down our...
I don't know
account.
If that's what... But here's the problem. Bill Collins has never been able to tell that story because he doesn't do a lot, if any, media.
More and more of his problem every single day is that he will not explain anything.
Right.
That is compounding for him.
But that is an explanation that could help him a lot. Bill, Mayor Collins, you came in. You knew there was financial trouble. You wanted a new auditor right off the bat. Why did you spend money even
yes,
though
tried
you
to bribe our auditor? Remember, with a job, the transportation, the transit.
Well, but I think
there's
this is all
position that we another director, assistant director position that we eliminated in transit.
Right, but I think if we keep looking on the past at this stuff, it really doesn't help. I think we need to look at the financial problems of the past and figure out how we got to where we are.
Yeah, because we won't be able to do any ridiculous spending anymore.
Well, but here's the thing. The auditor that was here when he came in is gone. The treasurer that was here when he came in is gone. The budget director that was first appointed is gone. The service director is gone.
The council clerk that was here then and knew what she was doing also resigned out of protest of what was going on. Let's not forget about that.
Okay, but again, I think that at this point, we have to hear something from the mayor, and I hope he does respond. He's welcome to come. I've invited him twice. We have had dialogue. We had a nice conversation Monday night.
Isn't that nice of him to finally acknowledge your existence? I think that's sweet.
Well, and we're out of time.
Take care, sir.
Thank you. All right, Linda Sims coming up next for this day. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Since said that, does it keep you up at nights?
Well, I don't say it keeps me up at night. I think that nobody likes criticism, but somebody